Hello, everyone. Oh, shoot.
Wait. I had this on, took it off for a second to take my earbuds out. I forgot to put my mic back on. So, hello, everyone. I guess you didn't hear me the first time. Oh, if I start choking for a minute, do not worry about me. I was drinking a protein shake, and right before I hit start, like a big wad went down the wrong side. So I've been coughing. So it might take me a minute to get my bearings about me. All right. So today is Q&A. This is actually a weight loss open Q&A today. We haven't actually done one of these in a few weeks because we've been studying so much about Basics 2.0 and Thoughts 2.0. All of the calls have been themed around our topics, but this month we're actually going to do regular old school Q&A. So how does that work? All you have to do is type into the Q&A box. Don't type into the chat. If you want a coach to answer you or maybe another chatter or a member of our team, if you want them to answer, you can put it over there. And if it's something like you just need a link or whatever, that's the perfect place to do it. But if you actually want me to answer live, you'll need to type it into the Q&A box and then I'll read it and I will get some people answered. And then if I like find that it might be better or more useful, then what I can do is make sure that I can, maybe I'll have somebody raise their hand and call on you. For all of you who are on Zoom right now, if you are not having video, if you're having video issues, the first thing I do is I suggest you to go out and come back in. I also suggest that you contact Zoom. So Zoom is its own independent platform. It is, unfortunately, their tech stack is not something that I can work on or that my husband can work on. So you may need the newest Zoom update. I'm not sure, but I would just check with them. From what I understand, if you just go to www.zoom.zoom.us, there is a little live chat bot in the corner where you can open up a support chat and you can ask them questions. Again, if you've got questions for me, they need to go in the Q&A. They do not need to go into the chat. If you just want people to help you, you can just put it in the chat. All right. Let's look at question number one coming from Melinda. Excuse me. This is going to take me a minute to get this throat cleared out. I'm having challenges with camping plans. I make a plan, but end up eating and drinking off plan. Fuck it eating kicks in during the moment when I just want to eat and drink with everyone else. Okay, so Melinda, there's a couple things that you need to think about here. Number one is, the first thing I would think about is, number one, are you making like a realistic plan? If you're going to go camping and you notice that you're always fuck it eating and stuff, are you making a realistic plan knowing like, and really sit and be honest with yourself. Am I going to want this tonight? You have two options. If the answer is no, then you need to do some work on, it's probably going to be uncomfortable. It's probably going to be difficult. So I need to remind myself of these things. This is why this is important to me. Like a lot of you, what I watch you do is you'll go on vacation or you'll like, maybe you're just making your daily plan. And every day you're just like, I eat whatever the fuck I want. If I see something, that's just what I'm going to eat. Like if that's you, you can't just keep making a daily plan and expect like the world to change and all of a sudden you just want it. That's not going to happen. Your brain is already showing you, I naturally don't want it every day. I naturally am not going to want it at night. I know my habit brain well enough. It's going to be looking around. It's going to be seeing what everybody else is doing, or it's going to notice that my family's eating this, or it's going to like whatever's going on for you. So if you are routinely breaking your plans, like that's the habit, then you've got to do something different with the planning. So first thing you've got to decide is, do I really want to be someone? Let's take your camping example. Do I really want to be someone who goes camping and who does not drink and who eats what she plans and be very honest? Like it's me. When I go to Vegas, I do not want to be someone who does not drink. I have tried that before and I didn't really honor it much. And when I did honor it, I didn't enjoy it as much. And I had to get really honest with myself. And I had to say, I don't want to be that person. and that's okay. So if I don't want to be that person, I need to quit lying to myself that every single day, this is who I want to be. So then it leaves the door open for who do I want to be? And then I get to craft that version. Now, some of you may want, like, say, no, seriously, weight loss is my thing. I really want to be able to go camping and not drink. And I really want to be able to eat on plan. Then if that's you, you have to be really honest with yourself. Okay. Then when I make my plan for the day, I've got to sit and journal about what the experience is going to be like. Make peace with, I'm probably going to have a lot of thoughts tonight. And I need to visualize myself going through the discomfort, looking around and wanting it, thinking, fuck it. Like saying to myself, it's unfair that everybody's like all the normal doo-doo that's going to come up. You need to journal about that and prepare yourself for it. Then you need to write about, this is why I am willing to be uncomfortable. This is why I'm willing to listen to the conversation. This is like me tonight. I want to watch myself go through it because it will be worth it for all of these reasons. For all of you that are finding yourself stuck in making plans and not following them, the magic isn't in just writing it down on a piece of paper, guys. Seriously, for some of us, writing it down, it gets our brain locked in on a decision. You've made some decisions ahead of time. Some days it's easy to follow. That's great. But for the majority of us, what happens is when we make our plans, it just gets us started in making some decisions as to who we want to be today. And then we have to think a little deeper about it. Is this what I really want? So, like, the first solution is, if that's who you want to be, then we need to do some journaling around what the experience is going to be like. Like, you got to take it more seriously. That's what I mean. And I don't think it's that some of you are ass clowning around, but I do watch some of you just like think, well, I wrote it down on the paper, Corinne. I don't understand why I'm not losing weight and following my plan. It's like, well, now it's time to journal. Now it's time to find out. Now it's time to make like a mental plan around following this. It's obviously for anyone who makes plans each day, it's not going to be enough to just make a plan. Now you've got to tap into making the mental plan around it. If you want to lose weight. Now, if you want to lose weight, but don't want it to, like, you're just like, I just want it to be super simple. Probably not going to be for you for the first few weeks. Guess what? If you want an easy life, like if you want to be at your weight and you want the rest of your life to be easier around food and you want the rest of your life to be easier with shopping for clothes and you want the rest of your life to be easier with being around your favorite foods and stuff, the first few weeks, you're going to have to dig in and do some of that fucking journaling I tell you to do. You're going to have to sit there and you're going to have to make your plan. And then you're going to have to be willing to write about what it's going to be like for me to actually do this tonight. What do I like, realistically, what's likely to my brain offer up? I will feel these things in my body. And I'm willing to think these things on purpose. And I'm willing to sit with it just for tonight. Like, I'm willing to do all of this. If you want the long term to be easy, the short term requires a little more work, a little more digging in. Okay, so the second option would be more realistic. Like, be honest with yourself. Do you want to be the kind of person who's going camping, who doesn't drink and doesn't eat what she's like wanting or what everybody else is having? So if you're not really wanting to do that, quit saying you want to and just be honest with yourself and then plan realistically and stop going camping and at night drinking and eating out of habit. Start doing it from purpose, which means, like, let's say you plan 5 beers and a burger and fries. And you write 5 beers and a burger of fries on your plan. And you're like, all right, so tonight when I eat, I'm going to tell myself I'm following a plan today that says a burger and 5 beers. I just want to be honest with myself that this is what I actually want. I know I won't lose weight, but I'm no longer going to sit and be stuck at my weight or gaining weight, frustrated because I keep saying, fuck it. If I'm going to be stalled in my weight and I'm going to be gaining weight, I want to be honest and conscious. One thing that will happen is when you are consciously overeating or overconsuming, it's not as fun and it's not as easy as doing it unconsciously from fuck it mode. Because once you say, screw it, I'm just going to have a good time, you're checking your brain at the door. You're turning off all kinds of reasoning. You're turning off your dreams. You're turning off the conscious part of your mind that says, hey, wait a minute. You keep saying you want to lose weight. Like, we just turn that part off. When you allow the conscious brain to stay engaged and you're like drink and each, like when you're drinking, you're thinking, okay, this has nothing to do with weight loss. This is not going to get me weight loss, but you know, I planned it because I keep telling myself, this is what I want. It gives you in real time, some experience around being with something that you keep saying you want and realizing maybe I don't want it as much as I thought. It just sucks the wind out of the sails a little bit. It doesn't mean that you still won't have a good time. It won't mean that the burger won't taste good. It doesn't mean that a few beers won't get you buzzed and stuff. But there is a difference. And most of us are not doing near enough of the, what I would call, like, if you're going to overconsume, stay present with yourself. And the reason why most of you won't do that and why we run from it is because when we stay present with ourselves, we hear the disappointment. We hear the judgment. We hear the part of our brain that's going, oh my God, I thought you wanted to lose weight. Like, this is not who we want to be. Like, you're going to regret this tomorrow. Sometimes we need that voice. We need that voice in the room. Most of the time we're turning it off and we're turning off the part of our voice. I'm not saying beat yourself up, but we are turning off the part of our voice that's our guardrails to get to where we want to be and who we want to be. We don't want to be shutting that voice down. It may not feel great. It may feel disappointing. It may feel regretful. But when you like really want to lose weight, but you're not following your plans, we need more real time, both sides. Like, you need the part of you that's arguing for your goals, that's saying, please remember who we want to be. And it won't make drinking 5 beers and having a hamburger fun. But it's not supposed to be fun if at the end of the day, you really want to be someone losing weight. The only time 5 beers and a burger is supposed to be fun is when it's planned and it's part of the lifestyle while you're on your way to your goals. Because that's the thing that I want to teach you guys is that I don't want you guys having burgers and beers when it's not going to be truly enjoyed. Like, there's room for all the foods that we want, but we have to learn how to have them in ways where it matters when we're having it. We're doing way too much eating in moments that we're just like, I just want to tune out. Or like, I just want to set aside my goals for this time. Or like we just do it at our own expense. And I don't want you eating at your own expense anymore. I promise all of you, there is nothing that you eat that is worth your dreams and goals. I'm not saying it's not hard sometimes to say no to that stuff. I know some of you feel like you love your food, and that I've got a question I'm going to answer in just a minute about love and comfort with food. But when you think about who you ultimately want to be, most of us don't picture ourselves with our favorite slice of pizza. That's who I ultimately want to be, that girl that's still eating pizza. Even for all of you, I had somebody write in. Let me just read this one off because it kind of dovetails into this one. Let's see. Let me find my, put my glasses on too. I honestly can't leave a bit of food behind right now. It's my friend. It's my love. If it's healthy, why do I have to leave it behind? So I thought this was really interesting because I want all of you to sit and think for a moment. And I want you to think about yourself long-term. And you are, like, I just want you to imagine yourself, if you didn't have drama, you didn't have fear, and you were who you want to be in 10 years from now. Do you imagine yourself sitting around food? Do you imagine yourself like, who I really want to be is someone who's comforted by food? Like, I want to work really hard to keep that part of me, that food is my love, my comfort, and my best friend. If it's not, then quit telling yourself that shit. If it's not who you want to be, you can't afford to keep talking about who you are right now. You can't afford to keep talking about yourself as if this is the only version. You can say, right now, I'm comforted and love food, but it's not who I want to be. Who I want to be is. We have to start anchoring to that version of us. And so for all of you, like, when we're thinking about, like, staying on our plan, leaving bites of food behind, all that kind of stuff, it's not going to be easy at first, but it's not supposed to be excruciating, but it's okay if it's a little hard. And the reason why I tell you this is because I think a lot of you are like, please tell me some magic trick or something so that when I do these new behaviors, it's just easy as shit. You've got to earn the ease. There are things I can teach you to make when you're changing your food habits and you're changing your thinking easier on you. Because a lot of you, what you do is you turn up the volume of hard by thinking, oh my God, it's going to suck. This is going to be terrible. Like, I don't know who I am without it. Like, y'all create a dramatic story. But I just want you to think about when you follow your plan, even when you don't want to, the hard part is just listening to your brain throw up an argument. But there's calm and peace in being able to say, and I know my brain just wants it right now. There's always going to be the balance between the two voices. This is the way you make it easier on yourself. Is like, I'm going to do this thing, and all my shitties are going to come out. And then with the part of my brain that loves me, that has my dreams in its hands, who wants the best for me, who cares about me, is going to watch this part of my brain throw in a fit, and it's going to talk to it as if it loves it, as if it's there for them. It's like, I want you to think about your brain. You've got this 5-year-old part of your brain who's scared and just wants what they want, and they're crying because they don't know, they know how to say some words and they know how to cry. It might not even be making sense, but you know, like, a 5-year-old can talk in some sentence, some good sentences, but when they're real upset, they're just saying shit. That's kind of like your brain is about like a 5-year-old when it really wants what it wants. It's demanding. It might stomp its feet. It's going to start crying. It's going to get to where it's barely making sense. And then there's you. The way you make it easier on yourself when you're delaying your gratification, when you're telling yourself you're not going to have something that you really want, is you picture in your mind someone who loves you talking to a five-year-old who's distraught, helping them calm down, telling them, I understand why you feel so bad. It's normal to feel like this. It's going to be okay. Like, we have to do that. So before I go on, can you guys hear me? Some of you are saying you cannot hear me. So most of you can see me. There's just, please get with Zoom for all of you. My team, bring this up on the leadership or on the team meeting today. I want to figure this out. Like, we need to figure this out, okay? And send some instructions so everybody can hear it. Okay. I just want to make sure. Some people said they couldn't. Okay. So you want to have that voice. And I think what happens for a lot of you that makes your urges hard, makes sitting and talking to yourself about like sticking to your plan and stuff hard is you guys aren't hearing or aren't picturing a parent who loves a child coming into a room. You guys are like, so my five-year-old is a bastard and I hate this child and I wish I'd never had it. And if this child would just go away, my life would be so much better. I mean, I want you guys to think about how you talk about your thoughts. You guys come on my calls all the time, be like, I just want to quit thinking that. When does this voice go away? I want you now to imagine every single time that you're wishing your old shitties away, that you are talking about a baby, a child. Because your habit brain is like a child in your brain. For a lot of us, our habit brain, all that chatter that you hear is like the 5, the 8, the 12-year-old version of you recounting what she learned early on. And then you're coming in as a parent and saying, I wish I'd never had you. I wish you'd go away. You're always so fucking difficult. Why do you have to be here? Why do you make my life so hard? And you wonder why, like, holding steady and not eating feels hard. That's why it feels hard. Because if you come into the room every single time, your habit brain wants what it wants, and you act like an asshole parent to yourself, you are driving yourself straight into a fucking eat. You will seek relief from you. You're not even seeking relief from the urge. You're seeking, most of you are seeking relief from yourself. Protecting yourself from you. Because the moment you eat, your brain starts focusing on something new. For all of you that think the food is what's doing it, you're wrong. The food is not comforting you. The food is not loving you. The food is not befriending you. The food's not making things easier. The food's not doing anything. The only thing that happens, habit brain says, I want beer and burgers. Parent comes in the room and says, this is some fucking bullshit. This is too hard. I can't believe you're asking for this. And then you grab the beer and you grab the burgers and your brain's thinking now, oh, this tastes good. The only thing that happens is your thoughts switch. That's it. Please hear me when I say this. The only thing that happens When you're having an urge, the food's not making you feel better. The dopamine's not doing it. Do not give credit to the food. You can't afford to give food the credit. Because realistically, the only thing that happens is I was berating myself, or I was arguing with myself, or I was telling myself this urge is too hard. I was telling myself some book of lies that got me anxious enough to grab some food so my brain could be like, now we're eating. Okay. We thought switched. So if that's the answer, then all we need to do is thought switch. So when the habit brain starts up, guess what we need to do? Listen. Listen to it. Agree. I know you want it. And that's okay. One of the most powerful things that you can do for yourself is to say, you can have it if you really want it. There's really no stopping us. We just need to decide, do we really want it? Take the temperature down. Tell yourself, it'll be okay in a few minutes. Use, can I just wait 10 minutes? But during that time, talk nice to yourself. During that 10 minutes, when your brain thinks of food, tell yourself, and I'm so proud of you for waiting. And if you want it in 10, we'll have it. But I'm so proud of us for waiting right now. Most of you are like, all right, I'm going to use can I just? And you're like, can I just wait 10 minutes? Yes, I can. Then you hustle and you get busy doing something. And the whole time in the back of your mind, what's praying is, I hope this urge goes away. I hope this urge goes away. I hope I don't want it. Anxiety thinking. Insert thinking that will calm you down, that will help you realize you're doing good things for you. Parent yourself. Use the now process. You've got the video in module 2 where I walk you through feeling a feeling. Let your body learn the urge. You have so many ways to handle it. Start using them. So some things to know. In August, next month, whole month is going to be on overeating 2.0. That's going to be our study for the whole month. Every single call is going to be around. We're going to have live calls where we're all going to be in a meeting room during. We're going to call it the overeating windows, most common overeating windows. We're going to have just all kinds of things next month. But we're going to bust the overeating windows. So we'll do some live urge stuff together. We're going to do all kinds of things. Use the now process. It's already in module 2. Anybody who really feels like when it comes to urges that it's very hard to navigate them, for you, you don't need to thought switch yet, but you do need to learn how to let it go through your body. Everybody would benefit from this. So the way that you do it is you go, and like tonight, you're not going to eat something. Or tonight, you're going to actually follow your plan. For all of you who are not following your plan, I just challenge you today, follow it for one day. If you want to go back to breaking plans tomorrow, you can. They're right there for you. But I would challenge all of you to do the thought reveal like I taught you guys last month in Thoughts 2.0. You can find that video in Thoughts 2.0. It's called Thought Reveal. I challenge you to do a thought reveal for the day. I'm just going to follow my plan and I'm going to listen at what my conversation is like. Do I talk about it lovingly or do I talk about it like a shrill? What is my conversations? Is there like, let me listen. What lies do I tell myself all day long that get me off my game? And then I would challenge you before you eat dinner, because dinner usually is the one meal most people break most often, if we were going to like address one, would be dinner. get the Now video pulled up. Get it on your phone. Look at your plan of what you're supposed to eat. And before you make it, sit and do it. Notice if you're wanting something else. And then allow yourself to process what the want feels like in your body. The biggest thing that will help all of you when it comes to your urges is if you will get better at understanding the difference between what a feeling is like in your body versus all of your thoughts and judgments about feelings. So a lot of you are living the experience of all of your thoughts about feelings. Like, they're so hard. They last so long. They're terrible. I can't stand them. I'm not good at them. Like, all of that, like, the moment you start having a feeling, you just let your judgments run wild. And so you shut down feeling things because you're afraid of your thoughts. When you practice feeling some feelings, what ends up happening is you'll do the Now product process where you will name your feeling. You will open yourself up like, all right, I'm going to listen to this video. I'm going to open myself up to feeling it. And then I'm going to walk you through a body scan. And you will witness the feeling in your body. It helps train your brain that that is what a feeling is. A feeling is not your collection of thoughts. A feeling is actually, like, let's get factual. When I'm feeling an urge, when I'm wanting to change my plan, like, I'm feeling those things, it starts off with mouth watering, heart palpitations. Like, you really train your brain, oh, this is a feeling. The emotional response that I'm having, that's really what we're dealing with. And when you really understand, and the definition in relationship with a feeling becomes the emotional response you're having, guess what? All of those thoughts, all of those judgments that jack you up, they start fading away. You have something realistic to argue with them on. And when that happens, you are more willing to feel a feeling when you want to do something, when you have desire, when you have an urge. And then you layer in the parent and the child conversation. When you're doing all of that, I promise you guys, following plans and stuff becomes easier. Now you're just left with boring ass habit change, the discomfort of changing gears. But when we were like, when you're caught up in fighting emotions, shutting them down, judgments around your emotions, arguing with your thoughts, arguing with your brain, demeaning yourself and the way that you think, that is the dramatic hard part. Let's remove all of that and just get to the basics of the uncomfortableness. Okay. Let's see. I'm new to the No BS. I am going through the No BS course, and I'm wondering what is the next thing I should focus on as far as content after I complete the initial course. Great question, Mary, and welcome. So this is what I suggest for all of you. Once you go through No BS, we have our weight loss self-study courses. Those are the things that I would do next. And here's how I would, like, how I would decide. If you are still finding it hard to do your basics consistently, let's say that you're like, well, I'm about 50-50, or maybe I'm like 70-40 on following, that kind of thing. And you could use a tune-up on your basics, on, like, let's just get deeper into them and that kind of stuff. I would take basics 2.0. So you'll go to the self-study, and that's what I would take. If you are, maybe you are inconsistent, but you're like, I am for sure, like, it is my thoughts. I got a lot going on. Like, I would take thoughts 2.0 if I was someone who had finished No BS And I'm not necessarily excited about moving forward. I am still very nervous, very fearful. Maybe you fall into overwhelm a little bit. Like you worry that you're not going to be able to do this. If that's you, I would take thoughts 2.0. Clean that up first. Then the next month, I would move to basics 2.0. But if you're coming out of no BS and you're like, I'm feeling pretty good and, you know, I believe I can do this and this is some good shit. Maybe you have a little doubts and stuff, but it's not like on your mind all the time. Then I would do basics 2.0. That's the first two courses that I would pick. The other option is because you're inside of no BS, each month we all as a group usually do a challenge or we study something or we're doing something. So you can either self-study and do one of the courses on your own, because here's the deal. I don't care what we're studying, whether or not you do the workbook and that kind of stuff is irrelevant. But if you like just listening to the calls, doesn't matter if you do the workbooks or not, you will always be learning something. But if you want to like really study something, do all the worksheets, the workbooks, the things that we give you. But like this month, we're working with Judith Gatton on body image, and we're working on like our style and all kinds of stuff. And that those classes start this month. So basically it's up to you. But for all of my newbies, when you finish No BS, I kind of like to think of things in terms of, if I'm feeling kind of good about how things are going, I'd probably do basics 2.0. If I'm feeling like I'm worried and anxious about losing weight still, and just kind of like, I don't feel like my mindset is like feeling really good, I'd go to thoughts 2.0. And then there's just other self-study, or you could just look at the self-paced courses. And if you're like, that sounds like me, then just pick that and do it. The main thing is that if I was like in here with you guys, at a minimum, when I would finish the flagship course, this is how I do all the memberships that I'm in. So I'm in several memberships and I keep up with them pretty good. I may not do their monthly courses every single month, but I do listen to their content. So I always try to find in every membership that I belong to. So I belong to like five other memberships where I study different things. Some is for mental, some is for business, some is for, I'm in a membership about memberships, you know, just to be able to like run you guys better. I listen to at least one or two of the calls a month across all of them. So if you're only in this one, I would probably listen to at least one or two recorded calls a week if you can, once you finish No BS. And then if you want to kick it up a notch, I would pick a course and I would self-study it for a month. And I would watch the videos associated with that course. And then if you want to pick up some of the live calls and the private member podcast, do it. The nice thing about being here is that you can layer things in as it feels right and fits into your life. There's literally no wrong way to do it. And I get questions like this all the time, like, you know, I'm not filling out my plan every day. I'm like, I listen to some stuff, but I haven't listened to everything. And y'all go into woe is me mode. Number one, for fuck's sake, quit thinking that there's a perfect way to do this. The best way to do it is just listen to some shit. And when you listen to some shit, if it makes sense, try it. Like at the end of the day, that could be the whole plan. I could just say like, here's your welcome video. Get in here, push play. When you hear something that makes sense, try it that day. Boom, and be done. Ask a question if you need help. Like that's literally it. But you guys, like, and I know we provide you with some structure and we've got a planner and all this other stuff. That's all wonderful. But I watch so many of you give up on yourselves because you're not doing it. Like you have this mindset of what a perfect no BS woman is like. That is some bullshit. When I lost weight, I did not have a planner. I did not have videos. I didn't have anything. You know what I had? What I tell you guys to do, each day I fucking woke up and decided, what can I do today? that's a little bit better than yesterday? Is it leaving a bite behind? Is it drinking an extra glass of water? Is it walking 5 more minutes? Just fucking do something every day. That's the main thing. If you want a habit, get in the habit of fucking doing something every day. Break the habit of shitting all over yourself, saying you're not good enough, worrying you ain't doing enough, overwhelming yourself to the hilt. Break that habit first. Worst habit any of us can be in is to think more. Like, please listen to the words that are going to come out my mouth. The worst habit you can be in is sitting around and thinking more about what you're not doing than you are thinking about what you could do. And I watch you guys do it all the time. You will spend an elaborate amount of your brain space all day long just letting your brain run wild with bullshit thinking after bullshit thinking around, like, this is how much of a failure I am. This is the shit I'm not doing. This is, like, everybody else is doing better than me. Every time you hear that crap, you need to dead stop it like it's a bad habit. Because it is a bad habit. Terrible. The only way your brain is going to stop doing that is if you literally tell yourself, no, we do not think about our failures all day long. We don't think about all the things that we haven't done. We don't think about the shit we're not good at. You know what we're going to think about? We're going to challenge ourselves to see, what could I do? I don't give a damn if you acted like an ass all day long. There is always a next best decision ready to be played. Always. You need to find that moment and then just do it. The person who loses weight is the one that's on the hunt for their next best decision, not the person who's hunting for why they're a failure. That shit has to stop. And you have to stop it. And no, you don't get to sit there and wish your brain would quit thinking it. And you don't get to sit there and wonder when that kind of thinking's going to end. No, waste of time. I want you guys, if you don't do anything this week, watch your heads. Just listen to what you think about and be willing to not judge yourself for your thinking for 1 week. Go, if you want to fast, you want to intermittent fast, go 16 hours of making yourself dead stop judging your own thinking and just listen. And like, you know what? I'm not going to think that. I'm going to quit making this dramatic. I'm just going to spend a week fasting 16 hours a day on beating myself up, judging myself for my thinking, and thinking I'm doing it all wrong. I'm going to turn on and make myself be grateful for something in my life. Find something that's going right in this moment. Think about what my next best decision could be. Think about someone who actually loves me, rather than me sitting around thinking about what a shit I am. You've got ample opportunity to think about something different. Start doing it. That's the best fast you'll ever go on. And you will lose more weight on that than you ever will skipping some fucking meals. Okay. I think we're on question 3. I don't know how I've spent 45 minutes on 3 questions. I'm having trouble leveling up the thought, this tastes so good and I want to keep eating. Do you have any suggestions? Yeah. So when you think this tastes so good, here's what I would think. This tastes so good and eating more doesn't make it better. That is probably one of the strongest thoughts that we've all used because it's the reality of it. We think eating more makes it taste. It's like when you just focus on how good it tastes, you convince yourself that more is going to be better. And it's like, it doesn't make it taste better. Like, I could just really enjoy the taste of it and really be thinking, like, when you think about it, rather than just think about how good the food tastes, think about, and I'm really grateful for myself that I plan foods like this. And a lot of times when we want to keep eating something because it tastes so good, it's really what it's triggering is some self-sabotage or some, well, it's really more past diet trauma, where at some point, what we ended up doing is foods that tasted really good, we took them away from ourselves. And so our traumatized part of our brain, when something tastes good, is triggered to worry that we're not going to get enough, or that we're not going to get it often, or that we're somehow, like, this is going away. That's why a lot of us fall into Last Supper mentality often. So one of the things to do is to just really remind yourself when you're eating, like, purposely put something really good on your plan and say, and I am absolutely going to stop at a certain point so that I can teach my brain that it tastes really good, and more does it make it better. And we also get to plan it whenever we want. When your brain starts getting like some freedom around, like, oh, she just keeps putting this on her plan, the compulsion to want to keep eating it starts to die out, because there's no deprivation or restriction, fear driving that compulsion anymore. I've been consistent with sleep, water, and food to the point of 90% of the time. I seem to keep losing the same 5 pounds for the last 2 months and can't seem to figure it out. Well, you didn't tell me about when you said food, Nancy, you didn't tell me, are you always waiting for hunger? And are you stopping at enough? And sleep and water, guys, if you're getting like 90%, great. That's really consistent. But what we need to do with the food is we need to break it down into categories. So for a lot of you, what you can do on your habit tracker is get granular. So that's what I have, like, my team members do. I have, I give them weight loss coaching every month. If you ever come to work for NoBS, we do weight loss coaching every month. So they're all working on their own things. And then one of the things that I've had them do, and I've also had some other people doing coaching calls, is let's get real granular about the food. So, like, percentage of how often you're making your plan, percentage of how often you're assessing your plan, percentage of how often you are following the plan, percentage of how often you are waiting for hunger, percentage of how often you are stopping at enough. And for some of you, if you really want to get a little bit more granular, you can also track what I would call extra food. Percentage of days where you have added extra food. So, like, I ate a snack that was, I know that kind of goes into off plan, but one of the things that's important when you're trying to dial in and figure out what's going on is track in the micro. So we have you start off with tracking in the macro. Like, they're like, you can kind of see what's going on. And then what you want to do is you want to dial in an area. Like, if you know a certain area is probably where the needle's going to move, I would get my data around that and then plan. So, like, let's say you track for a week. So, like, all right, I track for a week. When I start and stop eating, if I added anything, like, you know, that would be considered like snacks, BLTs, eating at night. If I'm planning, if I'm assessing, all that kind of stuff. You look at the percentages, and then for the next week, you try to bump them up a little bit. So let's say you ate 21 meals in a week. You eat three times a day, and 14 of them you ate on plan. The next week, the goal is 15. The week after that, you try to get to 16. So you're just going to try to creep up on it. You're going to try to add one more every single week. I think for a lot of you, that's going to be really helpful, like, to make sure that you're like, all right, especially if you're dicking around with the same 5 to 10 pounds all the time, get really macro or micro with your data, and then do it on the weekly. Then try to level up, like, all right, the goal this week is like one more meal on plan. The goal this week is, one or two more times where I waited for hunger. You can set some little micro goals like that. Over a month, if you do it that way, you will probably lose weight, but you will probably have solved some of the habits that you need to solve. Elle Kremers, she's wanting to help celebrating the way for my losses instead of thinking I need to wait until when I reach the coveted goal weight. Do Judith Gatton's course this month. Judith is going to talk more about like, how do you enjoy now? So do her course this month. That'll be really helpful. About 2 to 3 times a week, I'm awake at from 1 to 4 a.m. I am legit hungry, so I eat, try to keep it small because I feel like I can't go back to sleep without eating. I am otherwise on track during the day, but this habit is hampering my weight loss goals. What is your advice? I would not eat. You probably are legit hungry because you keep eating every single time, telling yourself you can't go back to sleep without eating. Prove yourself wrong. I would bet you that the reason why you're not going back to sleep has nothing to do with the food, but has more to do with you thinking about your hunger and jacking your cortisol up because you're thinking about your hunger. I would suggest meditation, the Calm app, reading, and just telling yourself, eventually, I won't be hungry anymore because if I quit eating, my stomach will quit asking for it. It's probably not actual legit hunger. It's probably what's called trained hunger. And a lot of us do that. If you wake up between 1 and 4 and you, like, let's just say the day before, if you had dinner, your body does not need food. Your body is meant to go overnight without eating. But if you've been waking up thinking you're hungry, deciding to go ahead and eat it and stuff, and if you're not, and you're jacking yourself up thinking you can't go back to sleep without eating, well, you've just given your body a command. Don't go to sleep until we eat something. So if that's the case, guess what? Then your body is going to, your mind is going to say like, all right, I need to like overly think about hunger and need to overly think about this because she's given me that command. I mean, the truth is you don't really need to eat. Your body was always designed to go overnight, even if you wake up without food. That's how the human body is designed. The only time in our life we're not designed to do that is until we're about 8 months old. You outgrew that a long time ago. How do you know the difference between shitty thoughts and actual depression? If you think you have actual depression, I'd go see a therapist or a doctor. Like that's my best advice. Just as someone who has had depression, I still sometimes deal with depression, but it usually starts with shitty thoughts. I mean, they're a combo for one. But if you think anybody who's sitting around thinking they might be depressed, oh my God, go see a doctor for real. There's no shame in that game. I'm gonna tell you right now, if I thought depression was knocking on my door, you better believe I'd be going and seeing a doctor because I take care of myself, because I value my brain. I once heard Shailene Johnson say this, that especially like us women, we will march in and get our vagina checked every single year. Like, I'm going to go and I'm going to get this hoo-ha inspected and blah, blah, blah. For some reason, though, we won't go get our head checked. Like, everybody should get a checkup from the neck up at least once a year. Do it with a coach. We've got coaches. Guys, if you don't want to go to a therapist, you want a life coach, hire one of my O3 coaches. Work privately with them. Figure your shit out. But there is nothing wrong with taking care of your brain. It's the most valuable thing you own. It is what is going to create your life. So if you think you're depressed, go get it checked. There's no, in this day and age, there's no reason for anyone to sit on the sidelines of life suffering from depression. when there is help out there. Just most of us just sit around with such a shame game around it. It's so stupid. We don't need to. If there were, like, I will just tell you, if there wasn't so much shame around mental health, more people wouldn't be killing themselves. There are people out there that need help and they're too ashamed. Their parents are ashamed. Everybody's like perpetuating this like shame cycle around it. And it is some fucking bullshit. And guys, we can't wait until society decides it's okay. It's just like what I talk about when it comes for body image and weight loss. Some of us have to go first. If we want to see things change in this world, some of us have to bravely just go first for our own sake. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I just put my like, practically naked ass out there now on Instagram and stuff. Because that shit's not easy. I have as much head drama about my body as anybody else does. I work on it. I just have decided not to let it stop me anymore. I would much rather just have head drama, but keep showing up like someone who gives a shit about herself. Same thing with like depression, anxiety, whatever. Some of us just have to go first for our own sake. Take action when we don't want to and show everybody else. It's fucking normal. We've got to normalize more shit in this world. All right. I hope that's helpful. Let's see. I attended. Hey, Hanan, you were a fan favorite of camp because you got coached. For all of you, this is her question, who saw her get coached on day one from the audience. I attended live camp about self-sabotage and it was amazing. However, due to old shitties, I lose weight, I have a negative reaction, and I overeat and freak out. I feel shame and embarrassment at how easy it is to lose weight. My brain expects it to be hard. Yeah, so you're running in, you're just running into cognitive dissonance. So when you, let me just finish reading this. I tend to lose a big number because I'm very, very active and I love following my protocol because it makes me feel great. Should I plan an overeat with each big weight loss, even if it makes me feel lousy as I keep working through my thoughts? No. This is what we do. We're going to double down on you being good at losing weight. Like you're going to have to learn how to be proud of it. Like doing an overeat to like, let me just get a little off track. That's just you avoiding the work of not being ashamed. It's like, you've got to teach yourself to be proud. You've got to teach yourself to love that part of you. You've got to teach yourself to be grateful that you are the one that can lose it easier. And you got to like unwind that thought that weight loss has to be hard. That thought is the one that's wanting you to overeat, to interject, be like, okay, I need to make this way more complicated versus I'm fucking grateful that I'm someone who loses weight because she shows up. And that's what I would tell myself. Like your whole thing is like, it's just easy for me and all this other stuff. It's like, no, it's because you fucking show up. Period. I show up. I do what Kryn says. I like to be active. The weight comes off. That's a good thing. I'm helping Kryn. Here's one. I'm helping Kryn change the diet industry by not perpetuating the myth that it all has to be so fucking hard. That it just takes learning how to do the things you say you will do. That's it. That's the way that I would be telling the story. And then for you, when you like, you need to anticipate that when you have losses, that you're going to feel shame or that you might feel a little odd. and you need to anticipate that part of you, I want you to think of that as like the thought reveal class that I taught in Thoughts 2.0. The next time you weigh in and like you know, you're doing this, I want you to listen for the thoughts. And then I just want you to tell yourself, and that's okay. I've learned that this is how my brain likes to think, but my weight loss is easier because I show up, because I do the work. And everybody's weight loss would be easier if they were doing that. I mean, to be honest, what all do I talk about all the time? What makes weight loss really actually hard is our bullshit thinking. Thinking we can only eat these things, that we're too old, that following my plan is hard, making a plan is hard. Like when you do all that, yeah, weight loss seems really hard. Anything you do will seem really hard if you talk about it like an asshole. But if you're going into it thinking things like, it just takes one good decision at a time. What's my next best one? What can I do a little bit better today than yesterday? What do I want to listen to in No BS today? I got 10 minutes. Let me just push play on the latest call. I'm going to get the best 10 minutes because I'm pushing play. I'll give you a pro tip. This is what I do a lot. I belong to self-coaching scholars. I always know about the first 5 minutes is them setting up the call and everything. I don't have a lot of time to listen to calls. So I will push play, move it to the middle, and just start listening. And if I got 7 minutes, I'm going to listen to 7 minutes. I just always assume I'm going to hear what I need to hear. Guys, nuggets drop out of the sky. You do not have to listen to a full-ass call in order to get your life to change. Most of you will even say, I want you all to think about this. Most of you will say, like you'll listen to a call, you said this one thing. It was this one thing you said. I got this one thing out of this call. Great. That means that you don't always have to listen to all of it to get something great. You find a nugget, stop. How can I put this into action today? Where can I try this out? Who can I talk to about this? Let me get with my accountability group. Tell them what I learned and tell them how, what all ways can we try this? That's how you make progress. It's not about perfectionism. It's not about doing every little thing inside of No BS. It's about finding the nugget, figuring out how you're going to do it. Talk to your accountability group about, hey, I learned this thing. Let me reteach it. How are we going to put it into action? It's about the doing. That's the important part. All right, y'all, that's an hour. So if I didn't get to your question, you can take it to either Ask Coaches or you can take it over to the Facebook group and you can ask your question there. I promise you, most of the stuff you guys are asking, if you'll take it to the Facebook group or take it to your subgroups, me, the coaches, the community team, your No BS community can help you out. So if you wanted to ask it here, don't ask it because it didn't get answered on the call. Please take it somewhere and get the help that you richly deserve. Okay, guys, I'll talk to you later. Bye, y'all.